KBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. More administration building for President-elect Trump. He says Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy will run an advisory department to provide advice and guidance from outside government to drive structural government reform.
Elon Musk is someone who has deep ties, business ties in China. He is close to Chinese officials. He relies on China as a market to sell his Tesla, but also as a key production base for his EVs. So the expectation here is that Elon Musk could be a moderating voice in Trump's ear to push for a softer policy towards China.
ABC's Selena Wang. The president-elect is nominating combat veteran and Fox News personality Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. Baton Rouge federal judge Don DeGrabblis has torpedoed Louisiana's requirement that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public classroom by January 1st, the judge issuing a preliminary injunction against that requirement. This is ABC News. President-elect Trump still has a felony hush money conviction hanging over him. The judge in the case giving prosecutors until November 19th to recommend how to proceed.
They've already said they don't believe the presidential immunity decision applies to this case because Trump was a private citizen when he paid off Stormy Daniels. Are they now going to suggest that sentencing get put off for 4 years? Are they going to agree that the case simply cannot go forward because Trump is president-elect? There aren't that many options to consider. The prosecutors are undoubtedly going to say the conviction should stand, but they may well agree that sentencing just isn't practical.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. His website reports the death of jazz saxophonist Lou Donaldson. He was part of the post-World War II bop scene. His signature opening song was Blues Walk. He did a version of Ode to Billy Joel that featured George Benson. No details on Donaldson's death. Lou Donaldson was 98. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
It's award season in the MLB. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Damian Lillard says the Bucks are working hard to get back on track.
You know, we just got to be able to sustain what we were doing and understand what we did well, and not have lapses and let-ups and give teams life.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Gladiator 2 is just a couple weeks away from hitting theaters. According to director Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix almost quit the first Gladiator. The 86-year-old director says Phoenix got cold feet and told Scott he had to leave the project. It took a Gladiator-type effort from fellow castmate Russell Crowe, who told Phoenix he was being terribly unprofessional. At the end of the day, it was Scott who talked the actor into staying on the film. Gladiator 2 does not have Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, but is directed by Scott and opens November 22nd. The sixth Pirates of the Caribbean film is in development. Good Lord. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer says production on the film will start in late 2025, but the cast has not yet been assembled. Johnny Depp is a maybe, but Keira Knightley says that she will not take part unless it's the final film of the franchise. Fingers crossed. The film does not have a title yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight and a low in the mid-30s. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, showers possible late, highs approaching 50. Areas of rain tomorrow night, lingering into early Thursday, then maybe some clearing late Thursday afternoon and a high in the upper 40s.
Currently it's 37.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will co-host. We'll talk to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils on Trump's plan for the Department of Education. Plus, the truth bomb too many Democrats need to hear. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we had a great show yesterday, Haley, and I just want to applaud you. And then we were on another 2 hours on another station.
Yeah.
And for celebrating Indigenous Peoples, Native Peoples Day month. And
Day month. Every day is Indigenous Peoples Day to us.
That's what I'm trying to say. But, it's great to get back on the saddle, so to speak, again, and back on the show. I need this. I need to be around allies, and I need to listen to, like, the prior show, Matt McNeil, and Civic Media, and all the people that are holding the glue together when it comes to next steps. And we know, as Native Americans, we've been dealing with a lot of strife for 500 years, so this is nothing new to us. So I just give you a lot of kudos there, and everybody else that's doing the work out there, which needs to be happening, and getting the word out there and talking, you know. So
yeah,
throw that out to you and everybody listening.
Thank you, Dega. Yeah, I applaud you too and all the great work that you've done, not only for the radio show and amplifying voices around Turtle Island, but also for our tribal nation as a representative also. I think in times like this, you know, it's important to take care of yourself and, respect your boundaries, take care of your family, but also surround yourself in community and with like-minded people. I think that's really important for our spirit and for our minds to continue, you know, fighting. And like you said, it's something we're used to, so it's no different, and we'll just keep up the good vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, so today we got our friend Ruth Buffalo Beyond, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and I know we haven't talked to her since Election Day, and we want to know how she's holding up, and I think she's in the bullpen here. Maybe we can add her if she isn't.
I think so.
Already added.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi. Are you there? Hi. Are you there, Ruth?
Dosha, hi, Matsugita. Thank you for having me.
Hey, good to see you. And we haven't spoken since Election Day. And I know, following you on social media, you've been running around doing a lot of stuff. And it looks like you went and saw Leonard, too.
That was an old photo. We were just trying to, again, keep him on everyone's radar and push for his freedom and his release from federal maximum security prison at Coleman One in Florida. But no, that photo was from a visit back in December, around New Year's Eve of 2022.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, it was a great picture, and I appreciate you keeping Leonard in front of everybody's mind, and Haley and Wendy and the show with Free Leonard Peltier now. So we think of him, and he's in our prayers. So how are you, and how are your family holding up this last election cycle?
Okay. I mean, it's, I think I'm okay, you know, with everything. It's just kind of, you know, have to kind of be prepared either way. And I think what kind of hit my heart was, hearing my children's reaction, or like say not to, but like, yeah, my oldest daughter, you know, this is probably, like you mentioned before, this was her first presidential election she participated in. And, just hearing and seeing her reaction. I mean, she was okay after a while, but the her first reaction to the results, you know, just trying to like comfort her. And that's what kind of like tugged at my heartstrings, was seeing like my kids' reaction to things.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we talk about, you know, in 2004 when Bush won big and we were all in shock, but then 2 years later in 2006 we got the House and Senate nationally, and then 2008 we got Obama. So there's always some pathway or something to think good about.
Yes, for sure. I mean, it's
Oops, Ruth, you're breaking up. We've lost Ruth there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's difficult, and I really feel for her daughter. My first election, Haley, was Reagan and Carter.
Yeah.
And that was 1980, and
gee,
I feel the same. Yeah, easy. I feel the same way, you know, having Ronald Reagan, and that was kind of the beginning of the end of middle class too, with the busting of the unions and all the things that he did. But we've come back, and we've managed to make big strides, and especially in the Indian community.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember those presidential elections like that one, but my experience, I was thinking about this too, and I was 18 in 2016, and I had just gone to college, so I was voting in a different city. I was actually up in Duluth, and that was my first presidential election. I was voting for, was that the Hillary and Donald Trump one?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was including Donald Trump. And I was, you know, obviously really excited to vote for a woman.
Uh-huh.
And Donald Trump ended up taking that presidency, as they say. And I remember one of my professors actually canceled like the next 2 days after those results came out. But yeah, it's crazy. And then the next election, Donald Trump was one of the candidates that we were voting for. And then, of course, in this one, it was the same thing. So I haven't been able to vote in a presidential election without Donald Trump, which is very wild to me.
Yeah. And, you know, not to go down the deep hole here, but I mean, the media has normalized this, and it's kind of interesting to hear you say that too, because you really haven't been through a normal cycle, which is really bizarre.
Oh my goodness.
Where people are nasty, maybe, and more innuendo than direct name calling and all these things. And I can't even imagine, you know, because those three cycles are the only ones that you've participated in. It's the upside down world when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, we've been through this. So what's great about Native Roots Radio? What's great about Civic Media? What's great about AM 950 and all the other stations that we're on is that now we have to come together.
Right.
And we have to come together in a good game plan. And I'm totally up to it. And I like what Allison said, too, with Biden being a lame duck. It seems like now is a good time to ask for clemency for Leonard Peltier before he leaves office. That would be great. And hopefully they do have quite a few things on their exit plan. And we can only pray for that, right?
Yeah, I know we got to take a break here in about 45 seconds, and then hopefully we can check back in with Ruth, because I would love to hear Ruth's history when she became to get to know Leonard and her time with him.
Well, I'd also really like to know her. She ran for a couple things before she won, and I'd like to hear that, too.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So hopefully we can talk to Ruth Buffalo. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for their Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. This degree is designed to develop the knowledge needed to work as an administrator in tribal government. Plus, you'll learn about the principles of sovereignty, ethics, law, budgets, and leadership. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Master of Tribal Administration and Governance at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtag.org. That's umdmtag.org.
Greg Bakken here. Like you, I love good, fresh, delicious food. So I want to tell you about this treasure in Roseville called Maverick's Real Roast Beef. Maverick's has the best roast beef sandwiches I've ever had, made fresh every order. Add fries or onion rings dropped in the fryer when ordered, and you have a winning combination. Maverick's Real Roast Beef has a lot more than roast beef, so check out their website, mavericksbeef.com, or check out their restaurant on Lexington in Roseville.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are back on the air, and everything's groovy here. I want to, if we can't get a hold of a good signal from Ruth, maybe we can talk a little bit about what we know is coming up with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Haley, do you want to shoot that out there? I do see some information floating around in my script.
Oh, I do. Ruth, are you there? Do you know about the fall feast that you guys have coming up at MIWRC?
Yes. Okay. Good.
Cool.
Hello.
Hello. Who is this?
Hello, this is Ambaji. I'm the director for traditional birthing at MIWRC.
Oh, hey, Ambaji. Great to hear from you. How are you?
Hello, and I'm coming to talk more about our fall feast.
Yeah, do you want to give the dates and the time, the date and the time for that?
Yeah, so it's at 5:00. Let me double check the date.
I think the 25th of November.
Yeah, the 25th. Yep, on Monday, and we're feasting the three sacred items. So there's an eagle staff, a drum, and a pipe that MIWRC, when it was first founded, it was given to the organization to take care of them and the people. So we'll be doing that ceremony and opening it up to our community and giving a giveaway afterwards. And we have some caterers from LCO cooking us a traditional feast.
Perfect. Well, that sounds fun. I definitely don't want to miss that. So if you, all y'all listening out there, you're invited to MIWRC, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center's Fall Feast on November 25th, and that'll be from 5 to 9 p.m. So I'll be shooting there over there after the show, and the address for MIWRC is 2300 15th Avenue South in Minneapolis.
Awesome. Yep.
All right. Well, yep. Okay, that's cool. Well, we appreciate you coming on, and we'll get some more updates from you next week. That was Ruth and Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center checking in. Yeah, you know, again, they have their fall feast happening, and that's really exciting, and we really support them.
Yeah. you can learn more at miwrc.org. They do have a couple events going on most of the month. I know that they partner with Native American Community Clinic and hold a lot of cedar ceremonies, I think usually even at MIWRC in their community room.
Yeah, well, they've been around. They just celebrated their 40th anniversary, and that's really really exciting, and they've been a mainstay to the community and doing great work for a long time, and it's always good to hear from them.
Yeah, you just mentioned 40 years, and that's like crazy for me to wrap my head around, but like how many people they've served in our community has just got to be like so many people and so many women, and not only women but also their families, so their kids and, you know, generations that live with them. And yeah, I know they have a lot of different programs. They do housing and traditional birthing programs, as well as I think it's the Nujimo, which is, what is that? That's their domestic and sexual violence support team. Yeah. Really great people working in that, too.
Well, we're going to have Arvina Martin on soon here, later in the show. But one thing I wanted to talk about, Haley, is our Thursday show. We're going to have some excerpts from Representative Heather Keeler on an interview, and also the president of Ho-Chunk Nation, which I was really excited to get John Greendeer on and talk about a few things. So that'll be coming up Thursday. So pretty darn excited about that. And what a great spokesperson and a great leader of the Ho-Chunk Nation. And he was president prior to this, and then he was reelected or elected again, I should say, and yeah. It was kind of a landslide, and he's a great leader, and consider him a friend.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So people wanted him, and they wanted normalcy, and they wanted it to get back to the way the nation is, transparency and things like that. So it was exciting to have him on, and it was really good. We were able to talk to State Representative Heather Keeler, who we were the first basic interview since the election, and it was good to check in on her and check on her mental health, and which we all have to do. But hey, I see Arvina is in the bullpen, so to speak, Haley.
Yeah. Hey, Arvina. We were just talking about a Ho-Chunk relative, John Greendeer, our president. We did a KFAI show yesterday on another local radio station here in the Twin Cities. They were doing like all day Indigenous programming in honor of Native American Heritage Month.
Awesome.
And, yeah. President John Greendeer joined us for a bit. And yeah. And now we get to be joined by you, another great Ho-Chunk relative. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are you feeling, Arvina? I know we had to take a few days off here and regroup, but we're ready to fight and we're ready to get back on the horse again here, and so we're excited to have you on and your positivity. And I know it's been hard, but people look up to you and our show and people out there for some support and some guidance and just talking about real stuff.
Yeah, it's been a hard week. You know, I think a lot of us were taken aback. I know I was pretty shocked at the results. I we've got a lot to like learn about what happened. And I just want to, you know, encourage people that are listening to, if they hear all the hot takes from people that you know, shows that they say they know why the election happened the way it did, there's got to take that all with a grain of salt. We need to really take a deep dive and take a look, and folks are going to be doing that in the coming months, and doing a full postmortem on the entire campaign. And I'm sure they've got plenty to take a look at, because this was such a different campaign cycle, with all of the events with President Joe Biden stepping back and Kamala Harris jumping on. You know, this was obviously a year that was an anomaly in terms of, like, it wasn't a standard campaign. Excuse me. We need to really go in and figure out and really do a full postmortem on the whole thing, so we actually understand, rather than like just the surface level takes that we may be hearing, you know, going around right now as to what happened and why it happened. So yeah.
Well, you know, and I've been repeating this a lot, I'm sure Haley's sick of hearing this, but in 2004 when we got Bush, we were all devastated, and then 2 years later we got the House and the Senate, and then 2 years later we got Obama. So this is a cycle, and we just have to stay strong and keep fighting and do better and learn from, like what you said, learn from what happened last time, and regroup.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't the end. You know, we know that we need to keep fighting, and it's okay to take some time right now and grieve. We're all doing that. I know that I have not been as productive as I normally am, just because I've needed to take care of feelings and take care of myself to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of fear, you know, and I'm one of those people that's not sure what's going to happen, and that uncertainty kind of frightens me. And taking time to acknowledge your feelings and knowing that that's okay. But doing it in a sense that gets you to the point where you can come back and get back in the fight. There's an analogy that we use in like the organizing world, and like about a choir. And when a choir is singing and the choir holds a long note, you know, each individual singer doesn't hold that note the entire time. You take a breath knowing that the people around you are still singing. And then once you've caught your breath, you start singing again, and the person next to you can take a breath, and the sound still sounds the same. And it's still lovely and beautiful, and you've created this beautiful piece of art, but you don't have to do it all yourself. And so I think when I started in politics, it used to be, it was really bad, and enough that like, it used to be a badge of honor if you worked on campaign and you were hospitalized at the end.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because that meant you left it all on the field. You gave it all. And wow. And we are realizing now it's not like that. It's not like that anymore. But people are realizing that we need to take care of ourselves in order to take care of the movement, to take care of the work that we're all trying to do, and to get us where we want our country to be, where we want Wisconsin to be. And so I just think it's really important that everybody out there who's been working hard and worked hard on this and cared a lot, it's okay to hurt right now. Take your time and grieve and get yourself back up, because we're going to need you. And I'm here, I'm still singing. Take your breath. And then when I need to take a breath, I'll be happy to hear you sing again too.
That's awesome. And we call that in the brass world, stagger a breath.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. More administration building for President-elect Trump. He says Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy will run an advisory department to provide advice and guidance from outside government to drive structural government reform.
Elon Musk is someone who has deep ties, business ties in China. He is close to Chinese officials. He relies on China as a market to sell his Tesla, but also as a key production base for his EVs. So the expectation here is that Elon Musk could be a moderating voice in Trump's ear to push for a softer policy towards China.
ABC's Selena Wang. The president-elect is nominating combat veteran and Fox News personality Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. Baton Rouge federal judge Don DeGrabbles has torpedoed Louisiana's requirement that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public classroom by January 1st, the judge issuing a preliminary injunction against that requirement. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's award season in the MLB. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Damian Lillard says the Bucks are working hard to get back on track.
You know, we just got to be able to sustain what we were doing and understand what we did well, and not have lapses and letups and give teams life.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The announcement seems like only a matter of time, but there will be a sequel to the prequel known as Wonka. The 2023 film starring Timothée Chalamet was one of the top 10 highest-grossing films of 2023, so the announcement was more a question of when, not if. Director Paul King says the script is in the early stages and will take place before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he might incorporate some exotic locations where they have to search for secret ingredients. The film Tremors from 1990 is getting a reboot. The team behind the horror flick, which was at times pretty funny, has reacquired the rights to their script and are contemplating how to approach another crack at the franchise, according to JoeBlow.com. Yes, that's a real site. The original film took place in a small Nevada town that saw residents terrified of graboids. Kevin Bacon, who was in the original, has shown interest in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight and a low in the mid-30s. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, showers possible late, highs approaching 50. Areas of rain tomorrow night, lingering into early Thursday, then maybe some clearing late Thursday afternoon and a high in the upper 40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm going to talk about the new information environment. Elon Musk controls all the info. What does that mean? We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Then we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and really good to see you and talk about things. One of the things that I believe happened a little better than we anticipate is that we picked up some seats in Wisconsin because the lack of gerrymandering. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? There was a good, healthy surprise about adding some more seats.
Yeah, I have the numbers off the tip of my tongue, but of course I can't quite remember them. But we did pick up in the state assembly a number of seats, not enough for a majority, but it definitely is getting away from that supermajority that the state assembly had, that Robin Voss had as and Republicans had in the state assembly. I believe the state Senate is currently 16-18 Republican. So I mean, I think this shows that there was a lot of gerrymandering. The districts that they drew before were obviously to, you know, pack Democrats into one, as few districts as possible while spreading out the Republicans. And doing this way is creating a lot more equity in the system and in the legislature. And I really think that that's gonna, you know, you're going to have more competitive races, and you're going to have it's going to have a moderating effect on candidates. So you won't have as many left or right wing wackadoos that are running and trying to just destroy everything. And because they have more people that they're going to have to appeal to. And it won't just be Republican primary voters that get to decide on who their legislators are.
I thought I was the only one that used that term, wackadoodles. you're old school, Arvina.
Hey, oh, yeah.
First, let's give a shout out to our Ho-Chunk sister, Cherise Davids, was reelected, and that's very important and very exciting for us. But also, how did your Emerge candidates do?
Emerge candidates went 92% win rate. So whoa, we did amazing. And the seat that we had won, one candidate that did not win, and her race was really close. So I'm really proud of all of these alums that have taken that step and chosen to serve their community and put out a campaign and work really hard in order to get elected and then actually succeed. And I can't wait to see, you know, the kind of legislation that they come up with once they are in office.
You know, that's amazing, because I've been doing this for a few years, and a lot of times we talk to our political friends like Ruth Buffalo and Mary Kunish and other people. They don't win their first election and they come back strong the second one. So that's really exciting to hear.
It is. And yeah, especially if you have not done, I mean, that's why if these kind of results and what happens spurs you on and you want to make a change in your community, you should run for office as well. We need way more Native people to run for office in their communities and outside of their communities. So if you live in the cities, you know, you should still run for office. The district that I represented, there were very few Native people in it. So, and most of the ones that were in the district I was related to. So, you know, I campaigning is hard. Running a campaign is hard. And it's one of the things that everybody thinks they can do because they see it like on TV and they vote and they participate. But there is quite a bit of work that goes into it. And it is a lot of kind of specialized work. So knowing what you're in for and the things that you need to do, even just things like knowing when deadlines are for submitting your requests for endorsements, or, you know, just some of the things that you might not think of on a campaign, you know, understanding those nuts and bolts are really important. And that's why programs like Emerge exist. And we exist in order to specifically train women candidates, because historically women have not been in these circles of power, and don't have the same kind of access. So, you know, you see, like, to you, what you said, sometimes you don't win your first race, but you go and do it again and win your second, because you've gone through the campaign. You understand what it is you're going to expect, because living in a campaign is a completely different world. You know, you no longer have, you know, as a candidate, you no longer kind of have free reign over your time. You know, there's always going to be campaign chores and obligations and responsibilities that you need to fulfill in order to be successful. And sometimes you have to have someone like a campaign manager or a campaign coordinator that can help you out and, you know, keep you accountable. And these are all things that you either learn by running for office or for previously, or by participating in candidate training programs.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I just got to give you a quick shout out for new listeners or new people to you, Arvina, is that you are the first Native American, what we call in Minnesota City Council, you guys call it something else, member in Madison, Wisconsin. And that's a awesome thing on your resume.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I can't wait for the next Native person to get elected to the Madison. We call it the Common Council. So I can't wait till the next person, Native person gets elected to that body, and to, you know, St. Paul and to Minneapolis and to like every time we have, every time that, you know, I don't know. I just lost my train of thought. When things pop up on the screen, I lose my train of thought. Sorry. But I can answer this question. We've had a question from Allison who has said, do you need to spend a huge amount of time fundraising? And it seems like a big hurdle. Well, yeah, when you run for office, unless you are like the folks in Maine who have public financing of their elections, you do need to raise money. And yes, it sucks. It's hard and it does take a lot of time. But, you know, that... it's unfortunately, you know, one of those necessary evils that needs to happen in order for you to get your message out. Whether, I mean, that pays for things like your mailers, you know, your website and things that you use to get a hold of your, what's it called? The constituents, the voters in your area. So, you know, it's necessary, but it does take quite a bit of time. And that can be things like, it could also be things like events, coffees, or, you know, fun time is call time when you just sit on the phone and start going through your book and making calls and asking for $50 of everybody you know.
Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, we're going to keep an eye on things and also, really talk about people joining women and joining Emerge Wisconsin and organizations like that to get ready for the next cycle. Because before you know it, I mean, we've been on, this is our eighth season, and we've gone through quite a few cycles and things have flown by, and sometimes in a real good way and sometimes in a confusing way.
Well, and that's not to mention, I don't know about in Minnesota, but we have spring elections in Wisconsin. We have spring elections every year. So next year in February, it will be the primary, and April will be the general election for lots of local races across the state. We will also be electing Department of Public Instruction superintendent of schools. And I believe we are also going to be electing another Supreme Court justice. So we have, and, you know, people start collecting signatures for that on December 1st. So that's not far away.
Wow.
So, yeah. So you get a couple weeks of like campaign-free time, and then it starts again. And local races are really important. Those are the things that really affect your day-to-day life, like your road conditions, you know, your public schools, what's happening in your schools, health and human services. There's just so many things that at the local level, the elections at the local level are really important. And that's also how we build the bench and get more people up that will eventually run for state legislature or Congress or Senate. Those are really great ways that we can feel like we're still fighting this big fight. By protecting our communities and electing people that have the values that we share is going to be really important. And we know the other side comes out all the time. So we need to, we can't let this election result destroy us or completely disengage us. 'Cause they want to kill our spirits. We're used to this.
Well, was it Proto Sewich? Was that the last Supreme Court that won?
Yes.
And aren't you proud of me pronouncing that correctly? It took
you
me
a
good 5 hours to work on that word, you know.
Yes.
Right, Haley?
Yes.
And actually, there's a video that's going viral now. We had oral arguments about the 1849 Wisconsin abortion ban, and the women Supreme Court justices that were doing the questions were not having any of the other side's arguments. It was pretty remarkable, and it was needed to seeing these women fighting back. So check that out too if you get a chance.
Well, that's really awesome, and. You know, and I feel your energy over the airwaves here, and it's really great to have you on, and I hope and pray that you still come on and we keep fighting together, because you have good knowledge and good information about our sister state, Wisconsin, and we have a lot of people that listen to us in Wisconsin. So Arvina Martin, executive director of Merge Wisconsin, you're a very important piece of Native Roots Radio and getting the word out there, and wow, we really just appreciate you.
And I appreciate you guys too and all the work that you do and informing our communities, and I'm always happy to be here.
Right on. Hey, we'll see you next week then. See how I did
we'll
that?
See you.
Right on. Yeah, little teaser. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back. Who are we going to be with, Haley?
We're going to have someone from Native American Initiatives from the Minnesota Historical Society.
Yeah, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa!
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Frank Brown of Minuteman Press Uptown with a question for our local leaders. How do you reward your employees? How do you appreciate your business partners? Thousands of local organizations just like yours count on Minuteman Uptown for promotional products. We craft custom awards and plaques. We print your logo on apparel, office supplies, and thousands of other items. Miniman Uptown helps you reward employees and stay top of mind with customers and vendors. We print everything. Contact us today at mpuptown.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! I just love that tagline.
Me too.
I think I've used it too in conversation. Well, we want to protect wolves for future generations.
Oh, always.
Right on.
The only, only state in the lower. In the upper? Lower?
I don't know. The United States?
Yeah, to never lose our wolf population. That's pretty special.
It is, definitely. Hey, we have Deacon Dubois. I hope I said that right. Program specialist with Native American Initiatives with the Minnesota Historical Society. Great to have you on, Deacon. And we got a few updates here of what's happening down in the Minnesota Historical Society. I was just there last Saturday for a book reading. It was really awesome. So there's always good Native stuff going on. That's welcome to Native Roots Radio.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Glad to hear you were down there. And Amitak Yepi, Chante Washtea Napechu Zapido. I just wanted to start out with an introduction there real quick. I come from Pejuta Zizi Kapi and lineal descendant from that community over in Granite Falls, Minnesota. And now I'm here in Imanija Ska in this community and very thankful to be here tonight and representing our Native American Initiatives Department. And yeah, we do have some really cool things going on. I'm actually here to talk about our signage narratives reconstruction that we've been doing for a lot of our sites. You'll see new signage that's recently been put up at some sites like Lower Sioux Agency, Marine Mill, and Birch Coulee Battlefield. We were actually just out there installing new signage at Birch Coulee Battlefield on Friday. But this reconstruction of the narrative has really been geared towards a truth telling of history for these sites. Especially from an indigenous perspective in Minnesota Mokolche, for us Dakota and Ojibwe relatives and Ho-Chunk folks. And many of the past narratives that live at these sites were written in the 1970s, specifically 1972, with a lot of Minnesota Historical Society sites in specific. And they incorporate a level of racially charged content, not to mention the fact that these are also extremely outdated and really in poor condition, as well as the fact that these sites don't have active interpreters and they're not there to deliver that history at a lot of these places, specifically like a place like Birch Coulee Battlefield, where you might go there and you won't see anyone there all day other than yourself. And it's kind of up to you to have that experience and have that own interpretation. You kind of build that through the narrative that is only living at that site. So we're developing the signage as an effective way, you know, to import. It's really important to decolonize the narrative as well. And this has led to us recently doing these installations, like I said, at a few different sites. And then we're looking towards Fort Ridgely and Lac Parle Mission. And then also Traverse Des Sioux coming up here soon. And yeah, that's a little bit of our update for now.
Well, first of all, I want to just back up a second, and I really appreciate you speaking Dakota to us. It really brings forth that, you know, our young ones and younger ones have really are the ones that are going to be saving our language and our culture. And I really appreciate that, Deacon. One of the things, too, while you were speaking, I'm wondering if the Minnesota Historical Society has some sort of map on the website to what you're talking about with those signs.
We do not have a map yet, but that would be a really great idea to for us to get put up on our MNHS site. Well, actually, we do have a link to our Historical Society sites. We'll be able to access that if you just go to our MNHS.org website. You'll see all of our 26 sites, and then we also have our partnership sites listed there, which some of our partnership sites people might not recognize, but like one of those is Lower Sioux Agency, partnering with their TIPO office and the great work that Cheyenne and Father John are up to down there. So we appreciate those partnership sites just as much, and we want to incorporate those narratives. But yeah, you can definitely find that on MNHS.org.
Well, it's so important. Your work's so important, and it's great that the Minnesota Historical Society has, a program specialist like you with the Native American initiatives. Because there's so much knowledge that needs to be out there. And I'll tell you, when I went to the book reading, it was mostly our white allies that were there learning about things that I do believe a lot of natives do know about. And it's great to see that, where people are getting educated about, I don't want to say the real history, but I'll say the real history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a big change going on right now, narratively, across a lot of institutions, not only historical societies, but I think you're also seeing it in the university system, especially with things like the Truth Report over at University of Minnesota. But similarly with our institution, we are a quasi-government institution, and working with our tribes is really important. So with all of this narrative construction, we're also doing this in consultation with our TIPOs, and specifically our Indian Advisory Committee, which has been around since about 1989. It's been a really great relationship that we've had there, and continuing to strengthen that is really important, especially for our Native American Initiatives Department, as we continue to work within this MNHS. So.
Yeah, I'm always, and I believe Haley too, and our listeners are always really pleasantly surprised at the work you guys are doing whenever we hear what's happening. And it's awesome that we're here to be able to amplify that. And it's funny, before the show, Haley and I were talking about how much we learn from our guests here on the show. And so we really appreciate that, Deacon, and appreciate the Minnesota Historical Society.
I appreciate you for having me and allowing us to chat about this, because I know in the future, in addition to some of our signage projects in this conversation, is also thinking about applications of traditional ecological knowledges to the landscape, which as you come out and see these sites, you might also notice that we have large areas of like tall grass prairie or hardwood forest. In some areas, it hasn't necessarily been well kept, or especially in line with the historical preservation or historical memory of that land. For example, at Snake River Fur Post, there's a sign that talks about Monoman and Pacine and wild rice on Snake River coming out of Lake Pocagama. But you can't actually see any of that rice. You can't actually... you can't experience what the sign is talking about. So thinking about that in specific is something that we are really interested in tackling. So, yeah.
Well, Deacon, I just got to say a big peeny geeky for coming on. We only got like a few seconds left. Can you let people know the website and Facebook, how people can see about your great work?
Yeah, MNHS.org/NAI. And that'll be our department page. And you can also check out MNHS.org for all.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, Lisa Pritzel from Empowerment Dance joins us to give us some great news about her business.
And Katie Compton from Mulva Center for the Arts talks about their Museum for All program. Join us.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.